Hello, and welcome to morning prayer at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Edison, New Jersey. Today is Friday. We are nearing the end of the 20th week after Pentecost. This week we've been spending some time considering what it means for us that Jesus has been raised from the dead. What does it mean that when we talk about the resurrection of the dead? And now we begin our time of prayer in silence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. Our reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning this morning at verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. Not all flesh is alike, but there is one flesh for human beings, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are both heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one thing, and that of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. Indeed, stars differ from one another in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is imperishable. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. And as was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. Take just a moment to think about the word physical. It could mean any number of things, depending upon the context in which we find this word, but typically it'll have something to do with our bodies. Our bodies are how we are physically present, how we do physical fitness or physical exertion, or when we go to the doctor to receive our yearly physical examination. Now consider what we might be trying to communicate when we use the word spiritual. A lot of times we think of spiritual as an opposite to physical, something invisible or disembodied, because we cannot think of physical, because we think of physical things as the things that we can see and touch. We often then think of spiritual things as those things that we cannot see or we cannot touch. We might talk about feeling a spiritual presence, but it's not something physically present to us. So we come to see flesh and spirit as opposites. And because of that, we find it difficult to follow exactly what Paul is saying about the resurrection of the dead, particularly the resurrection of the dead bodily. If the body is dead and it decays, then what kind of body will God's children have in the resurrection? This may be the second point that those who say there is no resurrection are trying to make. They're trying to show what a stretch or how illogical it is to think of a body raised from the dead, because once the body is lost, how can it be restored again? Paul counters with talk about seeds dying in the earth and giving life to the form of the body that God gives it. What emerges from the seed is not the same seed, body that was sown into the earth, but something different. And yet it's still in continuity with what was sown. A tomato seed will grow a tomato plant, but the tomato plant doesn't look like the tomato seed. So far, so good. But then Paul calls this resurrected body a spiritual body. The body of flesh dies and decays, but God raises us up and in the resurrection gives us a spiritual body. What Paul wants us to know is that what makes the body flesh or spirit is not what it's made out of, but where and from whom it comes. Once again, Paul talks about the bodies we know as the bodies that have come to us from Adam, the man of dust, the man of the earth. That's literally what Adam means. It means the earth creature, the dust creature. These bodies die and eventually decay. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return, we are reminded each Ash Wednesday. The spiritual body is given to us then after and given to us in Christ. The new Adam, the man from heaven, the body born of the Spirit in the resurrection. So just as we find ourselves like Adam in the body, so one day we will find ourselves like Christ in our spiritual body. So just as important as it is for us to confess that there is a resurrection from the dead because Christ was raised from the dead, it is just as important for us to confess that the resurrection is a bodily resurrection. But just because we believe in the resurrection of the body doesn't mean that that body isn't spiritual. This gives us a new way then to understand what is spiritual. It is not spiritual because it is disembodied or invisible, but it's spiritual because it comes from God. It comes in the Spirit. When we see those things that come to us from God as spiritual, we can better understand how all of these embodied things that we have been given as church, that we've been made part of, give us or make us part of, or give us at least a glimpse of the life of the world to come, especially when we gather for worship where Christ is present with us. Because the source of all of these is Christ and not our own imaginations. It's funny though, a lot of stuff that people in general in the world around us would discount as just being in church or going to church, the things we call worship or word or sacrament. These are really the places where God meets us in spirit and in truth. These are truly spiritual things. And a lot of the stuff that the world will see or think of as being spiritual, well, is something else altogether. Maybe a lot more embodied than we would like to think. There is one more way of talking that helps us to understand what Paul is trying to communicate by the resurrection of the body. And it's something that is still part of our baptism and funeral liturgies today. But that is something we'll save and talk about tomorrow. In the tender compassion of our God, a dawn from on high shall break upon us. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free. You have raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of your servant David. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our forebears and to remember your holy covenant. This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship you without fear, holy and righteous before you, all the days of our life. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Mighty God of mercy, we thank you for the resurrection dawn, bringing the glory of our risen Lord who makes every day new. Especially we thank you for the sustaining goodness of your creation, for the new creation in Christ and all gifts of healing and forgiveness, for the communion of faith in your church, for the gifts of relationship with others. For what else are we truly thankful? Merciful God of might, renew this weary world. Heal the hurts of all of your children and bring about your peace for all in Christ Jesus, the living Lord. Especially we pray for those who are sick, for those who are mourning, for all those who are caring to and tending to the sick, especially those who are sick from COVID. We pray for the Church of Jesus Christ in every land, for those who govern the nations of the world, for the people in countries ravaged by strife or warfare, for all who work for peace and international harmony, for all who strive to save the earth from carelessness and destruction. For who else or for what else are we praying this morning? Almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power, that we may not fall into sin nor be overcome in adversity. In all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good, render to no one evil for evil, strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.